There's a battle over American history in our time, and it's a very important battle because we're not just talking about memorizing dates and timelines and names of people who lived past in old musty books. We're talking about what is America? What was the purpose of America? What is our present? What was our past? What will be our future? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is a returning guest, Dr. Peter Lilback, the founder and also president emeritus of the Providence Forum. And we're going to talk about this whole issue, this battle over history. Pete, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always great to be with you, Jerry, and your listeners. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure. I remember in one of the books you wrote, it was in reference to the misunderstandings about church and state, the Wall of Misconception, I believe was the title. You said, or you quoted Karl Marx, and the gist of the quote from Karl Marx was, if you can manage to get a people to forget its history, then you can shape them in the direction that you want that nation to go. And I can't think of a more relevant quote than what we see happening right now, this battle over history, American history.
Yes. This, and we need to understand that this is an ancient reality. I've been having the fun of going back and reading a book that I read many years ago that I've talked about, and it's St. Augustine or St. Augustine's City of God. You remember, he was writing at the ending of the Roman Empire as the Christian faith was beginning to have an influence. And right at the beginning, he uses this quote. I was just reading it, so I'll share it. He's addressing the historians of the Roman Empire, and he says, has the fact been suppressed by the historian of these events? And he says again later, and this certainly would by no means have been admitted. In other words, he's already recognizing that the Roman historians telling their story had the ability to omit things they didn't want people to know, or they would suppress certain things that they didn't want people to know. And that is the conflict of history. It has been said, well, the winners write the history. And so there's now a wrestling over who is going to control America, who's going to control our worldview. And so the history that they need to tell is not one that celebrates our founding fathers' faith in God. It's not one that will celebrate the fact that divine providence was something that they appealed to, which is directly the last reference to the four of the Declaration of Independence to God. So we know that there is a battle to control history that's ancient. It happens now because there is now a struggle as to what we want our country to be. You take away the roots, and like a tree, a nation may easily be moved. And that's what's Marx's view. It's what's happening now. And we can see it with tearing down statues, tearing down flags, attacking institutions, and, of course, rewriting history. So there's no accident that we needed a new history to tell the story of America. And that's been part of the news in recent days, which I think you're better to describe than I am, which I hope you would at this moment.
Well, it's interesting that one of the last things outgoing President Trump did was to sign an executive order acknowledging this 1776 commission, which is headed up by the president of Hillsdale College and has some august scholars that are a part of it, basically celebrating America's, you know, true founding. I mean, obviously we had a lot of flaws in terms of, you know, slavery and so forth, but there's a lot of steps that were taken to correct those things. And you go through the reports that you find with the 1776 commission. I was looking at it, and it's very well done. There's a lot of stuff there about Martin Luther King Jr. and Frederick Douglass and so forth, and Abraham Lincoln, and, you know, not just the very beginning of the country, but also those steps and measures to correct the wrongs that were done even early on in the country. But the other side of it is the next day when President Joe Biden came in, one of the first executive orders he did on the very first day was to, you know, nullify this 1776 commission on behalf what Trump had signed. So it's almost like, wow, history does matter. If nothing else, it's being fought over like a political football between one side and the other.
That's exactly right, because the history is celebrating the values that are important for a culture. And so the new Marxist viewpoint, we can call it cultural Marxism, that comes to us from Marcuse and other philosophers of the 20th century, is saying we need to control the commanding heights of culture so they reflect our values. And the way they chose to pursue that is through a constant barrage of criticism of the past and separating groups, because there needs to be, for the Marxist process to work, an oppressor and the oppressed. That motif has to be in place. And so by dividing groups against each other, then you have the ability not only to weaken your enemy, but to celebrate conflict. In the idea of the Marxist movement, there has to be a thesis and antithesis that are struggling. It creates a new synthesis, and that new synthesis creates a new conflict. So Marxism moves forward by dividing, creating conflict, and in the process, creating those who are the bad guys, the oppressors, and the vulnerable, the victims, which are the oppressed. And it's celebrating the oppressed and the evil of the oppressor that is the basis of history. So what is the new history? The new history is one where we say America is the nation of slavery. It's slavery that creates who we are. So you see, that's the ideology they want to celebrate. The older history that was being refocused and renewed is the one that recognizes the fact that there's something unique about America, sometimes called American exceptionalism, and it's not only the providential intervention of God, but the value of recognizing human dignity as the basis of all things, as a gift from God beyond the role of government, so that we're endowed by our Creator with certain rights that no one give and no one can take. We have them by being made in the image of God. But in the Marxist ideology and in the big government movement, the government gives you the rights. The government controls those rights. And so the bigger the government, the better you are. And so the way you put it all together is, if you have a God that transcends all things in history, then government must always be contained. But if you remove God from your worldview, then government becomes God.
Yes.
And of course, by definition, God needs to be omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and ever increasing in its influence, and the need for the citizens to venerate it, and the source of all good things, and punishing those that did not stand in league with it. So you see, history is critical, because that's the fight for what kind of country we're going to have.
And it's scary, because so many millions and millions of young Americans know nothing about America's history, and even about God's role in America's history. I mean, for example, the previous generation at least had some appreciation for, let's say, Ben Franklin or George Washington or Thomas Jefferson. This current generation doesn't even have respect for that. Meanwhile, that previous generation didn't necessarily know the God factor, which is really the ultimate example or the ultimate point in America. You know, when the founders wrote up the Declaration of Independence, in effect, they declared independence from Great Britain, but they declared dependence upon Almighty God. So self-government under God. That's really what America is all about. Take that away, as the Marxists are trying to do, and we see a future of chaos and lawlessness.
Well, I think we need to look at the worldview tension that's before us. There's so many Marxist ideas that are being woven into our culture and even into our churches and pastors' teachings. And yet Marxism is an atheistic worldview that has no room for God. And so the critical race theory that we see going on, that's a direct abandonment of the teachings of Christ.
What does that mean?
It doesn't move forward by conflict. It moves forward by people learning to love their enemies and finding reconciliation. Go ahead.
What is critical race theory? Just real fast, what does that mean? We hear it a lot, but...
Well, critical race theory is the... recognition that there is an oppressor class called the white, and there's the oppressed class called the black, and that we need to recognize that reality is the presupposition of everything that's going on. That means we are living with systemic racism, that just to be white, you are an evil oppressor.
And I want to say
black,
for the...
You are innocent of being an oppressor, and therefore your needs are totally prime. Any minority has always been abused, and the system has to be overthrown so that there can be a rejection of this white supremacy. And that's critical race theory.
And I want to say for the record that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and you've even written a book about his fantastic letter from the Birmingham jail, he would not be on the side of the critical race theory. He would be on the side that, we need to become colorblind. We need to recognize that the founders said our rights come from the Creator. The problem is that we, the blacks, are not experiencing the promise that was made by the founding fathers. So we're now trying to check in or cash in on that promissory note that they made for our freedom. But so in other words, the problem with America is not its creed that all men are created equal. The problem with America is, said Martin Luther King Jr., is that we're not living up to that creed. Well, that's far different than the idea of, let's tear this thing down and then we'll make some new society that will supposedly be better. And it'll never be better. There's not one square inch you can show me on the planet where Marxism has brought any good for anybody, anywhere.
Yeah, so that's well said. I think the vision of Martin Luther King, it was that the day would come that children would walk together, black and white, whatever other shades of colors and cultures there might be, hand in hand, enjoying the freedom of a society that recognizes their dignity, that we would not be judged by the color of our skin, but the content of our character. And that is not what critical race theory says. It says it's your skin color, whether white or black, or some shade in between that determines what's oppression and what is victimization. And we need to abandon that. So I want to say to all of our listeners, do not apologize for being white. Do not apologize for being black. Be who God made you to be. You're made in His image because we all have one Father. His name is Adam. And under God, we have one Creator. And it's in that gift of God who made us in His image, we all have dignity. And so justice means when someone is being prevented from being who they have been made to be by God because of some cultural barrier, that because of their skin color, we ought to stand against them. But to say just because of who you are and who God made you to be, you're bad or you're better, that's wrong. That's not the way God made us to be. And that's why we go back to those founding words. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Abraham Lincoln said it so well, that on this continent was brought forth a nation dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And that is the vision, that we all stand together. And in the Christian faith, it says all stand on level ground at the foot of the cross. We all need a Savior. We're all forgiven. And then we learn to love each other as brothers. And so the vision that Christ has, a day will come when people from every kindred, tongue, people, tribe, and nation will be gathered together singing the Hallelujah chorus for the Lamb who is slain, who stands, who is raised, and who is now the Lord of lords and King of kings over all the nations. That's not the critical race theory. That's the critical Christ theory. Mm. He's the Lord of history, and He calls us all to be united under His rule. And because God made us in His image, there's a real equality, and we should labor for that. And that's what true justice is that each of us stand to make sure everyone is respected for who they are and that they are not unfairly prohibited because of who God made them to be. So that's a very different model than what we see coming from the Marxist ideology that's behind critical race theory.
So the battle over history is truly a very important one. Dr. Loback, thanks again for joining us for this particular segment.
It's